Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So we have reached number 5 in the Husky International series. This is a long interview with the CEO of the Norwegian outdoor brand Norrøna. Try listen to the interview using Acast. Find out more about this episode and previous episodes on huskypodcast.com. My name is Magnus Ormestad and this is the Swedish outdoor podcast Husky. But welcome, Jörgen Jörgensen.
Thank you.
CEO of Norrøna. We're sitting in the flagship store in Stockholm.
Yeah.
How would other people describe you, do you think?
They will probably describe me as enthusiastic.
Well, you're Norwegian, so.
Yeah. I think they would describe me as enthusiastic about nature and very passionate about my job in Norrøna. So it's a big part of my life. So I think there's a good relation between me as a person and my job there.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up right outside Oslo, west of Oslo, called Asker and Bærum. So close to nature, and I was also a lot up in the mountains. So my father always brought me to his activities. So I learned to use both the sea and the mountains from an early stage.
But it was from the beginning, nature was a natural part of your childhood.
And I've been passionate about skiing since I was very young. Walking in the mountains, hiking. I used to see a lot also by, kayaking and windsurfing and wakeboarding and so on.
And when you were a kid, your father was CEO when you grew up.
Yeah.
What did you want to become when you grew up, when you were a kid?
I think that most of the time I actually dreamt about starting working in Norrøna. There was never a pressure, and sometimes it was a pressure not to do it because it's a demanding job. During when I was studying financials, I sort of were hooked into the financial world for a short time, but I discovered figuring out what was making me stand up in the morning that I like to build stuff, and the financial world is not about that in the same way that what I'm passionate about. So I really discovered that Norrøna is the perfect job for me, because you can build products, you can build organizations, you can build stores, IT systems. There's so many cool things to build, and that's really what drives me. And I see that through. I was very little, I was building. That's been a red thread from when I was really young.
Maybe you could just briefly say something about the history of Norrøna, because you're fourth or fifth.
I'm the fourth generation. So it was founded by my great-grandfather in 1929. First, he actually founded a different company with a companion in 1918. He was a craftsman. He had a product knowledge in that company. And After a while, he didn't like the direction that that company was going in. We were not stretching to do the greatest quality. So we actually stepped out of the company, which was a very successful company at that time. And he brought with him three sowers, and they started Norrøna based on making the highest quality products in 1929. And from that stage, we built it up, you know, as a family company, stone on stone. And I think there's a lot of interesting thing to say about the whole period here. But if we take it a little short, you know, again, my grandfather was running it in the 50s and 60s. And he died quite suddenly in 1971. And then my father, he was not really interested in outdoor at that time, and he didn't really have an education, and suddenly he was left with the company. His father died suddenly, and he had to take some decisions, and he figured out that, you know, I really want to do this, I really want to go into Norrøna and try to develop it. So he bought out his aunt's, and there was also some camping furniture and so on in there, so he kind of made it core outdoor. And together with a Swedish guy called Thomas Arlström, which started an outdoor chain in Norway in the early 70s, he came in as a product developer. And they kind of added on the next building block of Norrøna, highest quality and great function. So during the 70s, they started extreme user-driven product development, which means, you know, it was a lot of expeditions starting in the 70s, and these guys were a friend of my father and Thomas. So they said, okay, we're gonna climb the Trollveggen wall in Norway, and we need a jacket. We're gonna do this new expedition route. And we developed a jacket for them. And yeah, it worked out. We had to do some adjustments, and eventually that became the product that we put into our range. So more like a coincidence, we started extreme user-driven product development. So through the 70s and 80s, they developed a lot of innovative products. You know, we made the first Gore-Tex jacket in Europe in 1977. We also did our Trollveggen climbing jacket and pant, which has been one of our best sellers for time in the end of the 70s. And they've developed really cool tents, new backpacks, and more products like that. So we became like a high-end niche manufacturer to outdoor clothing and climbing gear. Mm-hmm. During the 90s, Norrøna started really growing because the Norwegian market kind of exploded in the outdoor scene, and we were very successful. At the end of the 90s, there was a lot of good competitors coming in. You know, Arc'teryx did a great job at that time, and a lot of other ones, and we needed to reshift our focus a bit. So I was taken into the company, very inexperienced, but I brought in a lot of ambassadors and a new way of working. So during the early 2000s, we added on the third building block of design. So if a product is going to cost like 5,000 kroner, it has to look really, really good also. So we found that by working more on the design, you enhance the quality and the function. So, I mean, we came up with especially the Lofoten Freeride series, which was making a lot of noise outside Norway also. So at that time, we started also focusing more on our export. From there, we have kind of succeeded quite well also internationally.
I guess it's very special to, I mean, as a kid growing up within a company and within a brand, maybe you kind of taking it for granted, the clothes that you were wearing and the clothes that you saw. When did you first start getting kind of an outside perspective of and start realizing that this is a fully functional, this is a clothing brand that other people wear as well, and you're the family behind it?
I've been used to that since I was a little kid. I think my take on it was a little different, because I already, when I was quite young, had a lot of meanings of how to push it in a different direction. So my father let me design my first jacket when I was 12. So I drew it and he made it. Of course, he made the jacket for me, which I didn't draw when I was 5. So, you know, he makes sure I had the products on. But the head office of Nordgren, I was very close to where I grew up. And I worked there, you know, fixing gaiters and do that stuff on the evening to earn money. And I had the key to the office, so I went in there by myself. And eventually, you know, the sewing machine was there, and I had a lot of ideas. So I sat down and started playing with the sewing machine. So kind of, I saw a lot of people using it, but I also saw, you know, the opportunity to kind of push it even more in a cooler direction. Because I think when I was young, you saw Nordgren was more of a traditional company. It wasn't the typical clothing that I used. It started during the 90s, you know, the little cooler colors started to come in, and I kind of, it became more of the products that I was using when I was out in nature. So, you know, you kind of grown accustomed to it. So, but what I'm kind of much more interested is the consumer feedback. What's always been great to hear is when consumers are passionate about, because you make these products, we can do this kind of activity. So that's really a cool motivation behind seeing people use it. And I've been working in a sporting store during my studies. So I sold a lot of products, and then you come in the contact with the consumers and their passion about the products, and if something goes wrong, how to treat them that way. Yeah.
Do you still use the sewing machine?
Mm-hmm. I do. I saw all the strategy. We had a new strategy, and I sold them on the sewing machine. I'm not good at the sewing machine, but I know how to use it, and we sometimes make some stuff with the kids and so on. So it's I like to learn them how to use it too. So,
at what level was your? Because you did a lot of sports, you said. Mm. Was it always like just for fun, or did you participate at any stage more professionally or more serious?
You know, Nordgren is all about no start numbers. We like the free ride spirit. So. For me, I was never into the sports for competition. I was in there of pure passion. So, I mean, I started telemarketing when I was 11, and it was all about the free riding, the powder skiing and so on. I started doing some training and some slopes, but as soon as the powder came, you know, we stopped that and went out back powder skiing, so we were kicked out of the team. So this is my take on nature. I mean, being out there, and the important thing is to enjoy time with your friends and kind of just absorb a beautiful nature and have fun. But I've spent quite a lot of time on doing that, both in, you know, hiking, hunting, mountain biking, cross-country skiing, freeride skiing, and all kinds of activities. I spend a lot of time outside, and it's not about being best, it's about the fun and the you know, enjoy.
Mm. Is that how you would define Nordgren as a brand?
Hmm. I think that we are about, you know, our vision is welcome to nature. We like people to really enjoy nature, therefore we have to make the world's best products so people can focus on their experience instead of kind of freezing or not being protected from the weather. And I mean, people can do this any way they want. Some of them are extreme, going to the most demanding peaks or steepest skiing or something, but our soul of the brand is go out and enjoy nature any way you like, as long as you enjoy it, but not to destroy it by I have to be the quickest one there or something like that. We're about enjoyment of it.
Do you feel, is it a heavy burden to bear, a family company, and now you're the CEO of it?
Strangely enough, I only once kind of felt really the burden. You know, I know it's there, but it's something that I'm so grown into the thought of taking care of it, and for me it's so much fun doing it, so this is something that I really want to do. I mean, I've done a lot of mistakes through the time that I've spent in the run. I probably 50-50 the right and the wrong things. But since there are no one on top of me to blame me, you know, I believe in doing mistakes. So it's okay to say, oh, I did a mistake, let's try something different. And therefore, we don't really go down the wrong road when realizing doing mistakes. So I think, therefore, we haven't gone into the really tough situations, except once. But I also have a strong belief in what we can do. So, you know, my focus is always on, okay, how do we get there? Not about the scary things of not getting there. But we had a situation in 2007 where kind of growing pains and some wrong decisions ended up where we had problems in our supply chain. We had delivery problems, we had quality problems. So a lot of things happened at the same time, and I was then temporary in charge of supply chain. And I went down to our factories and I saw, you know, that we're going to have big delays and so on. And then for 1 second, because we had hired a new supply chain director, and he was coming in with a lot of knowledge that I didn't have. And he resigned actually before he started. So when he called and said, I got my dream job now, I will not be... able to work for you. And at that time, I felt, you know, I think that's the toughest time I had in Norröna. But at the same time, this also taught me to look in the mirror and say, you know, what was the reason why we ended up here? And there was no one else to blame but the decisions I've been taking. And therefore, I really understand that important elements had to be put in the bottom of how we were running the company, and therefore we are so much stronger today. So I would not be without this situation that we ended up in, even if it was very painful at that time. It has made us a lot stronger later, and we would not have been where we are today without kind of feeling this so tough.
But is that also a matter of like maturity on yourself? Have you always been this, because it sounds like you're very 100% honest to yourself and everything around you. Have you always been like that, even through like being a teenager and doing studies and sports and everything?
Probably more or less like that, you know. But still, you know, I have a strong mind and have to realize a lot of the mistakes I do afterwards. And then you can look back and see, you know, how stupid was it possible to be at that time. So, I mean, I see I learn all the time. And that the day I don't realize that anymore, I think it's going to be harder to develop the company going forward. But, of course, experience, you see the value of a lot of experience. But I also see that doing the mistakes really makes you remember them, so you won't do it again. But also, you know, we go down a lot of new roads. We don't know what is the right way, so you have to be open to do mistakes, because it's, if you are afraid of doing mistakes, you will never really find new and cool ways, because you're so afraid of testing out new stuff. So
that's really the perfect like entry to the next question, because mm-hmm. now you're the CEO, you're that at the helm, like you're controlling the Norröna now. Do you see yourself as a caretaker of the company or kind of a reinventor?
Sort of a mix. I mean, there is, I learned a lot from my father, you know. He gave me a really good fundament for taking the company to the next level. So a lot of the things that is part of our success today is stuff that he's taught me. It's about quality, it's about some certain things on how you run a company and so on. So this I got when I was really, really a young kid, and I've been really holding on to these things, even if people around me, both in the board and people in the company, say, no, we have to change this. You know, this is still, you know, belief I got from him. And at the same time, there's a lot of new learnings, and you have to kind of find ways to get new inputs every day, because we know that the evolution is going to take place, and we would like to be in front of that evolution. So we always have to try and test out new ways to improve, but still the fundament of how we run business can be the same thing. You know, we still believe in repairs, we still believe in the best quality, function and design. There is something there which has been there since the start of the company that we have to take care of, and there are some other things that we have to develop.
At what stage was the company when you took over?
It was the brand name was very strong. It was still a solid company, but the turnover started to slightly fall. And
what year was it, by the way?
First, I started as a product development manager in 2000, and I took over the company in 2005. So if I'm going to take this story, you know, I was put in there because we needed some fresh blood into Norrøna. And since it's a family-owned company and I was passionate about it, I've been in the board for some years before, we tried to put me in there, and I had a lot of thoughts about product development. So again, maybe 50-50 right and wrongs, but eventually we started to get the products going in a new direction and finding kind of the next level of the Norrøna design. But still, there were so many other things that had to be fixed for the company to be an international leading brand, which I wanted it to be. At that time, my father was only part of the board. He was not running the company. So the old CEO and I, we were not kind of agreeing on the direction. So eventually I went to my father and said, you know, now is the time for me to take over. And we agreed on the 1st of January 2005. And we announced it to the rest of the company half a year before. And at the same time, he became sick. So he died 1 month after I took over the company. So, you know, we felt a little alone. But I had gotten two very good board members, which has been a great support to me. And I mean, I were not experienced in running a full company, but I knew the company very well. So first, a few mistakes. And then, you know, starting to get the things going the right way.
What do you want what do you want to add to the market?
You know, this is all about the consumer being really happy with our products. You know, that's in the end, the motivation. So how do we make great stuff that the consumers are super passionate about? So we always look for needs that are not fulfilled in the market. It could be new niche sports. And this is probably the area where we have been the most successful, by going into niche sports that eventually becomes a lot bigger. You know, we started this with the climbing in the end of the 70s, kind of really making high-end clothing and backpacks to climbing. And this sport kind of grew a lot. And then the same we did with the hunting in the 80s. You know, there was some of our ambassadors coming to us saying, you know, there is no good hunting clothing out there. And we made some really revolutionary stuff that kind of took the market. And then in the end of the 90s, we started telemark skiing, doing the same way. You know, we made clothing for that. And I think no one made clothing for that, but we went into that niche and it worked quite well. In the early 2000s, we went into free ride skiing. You know, we saw the trend with the fat skis, but we didn't see any clothing and backpacks really fitting that market. So we went in there and did it our way, and therefore we could do it with success. And you see the single track mountain biking was the same way. We kind of made our own styles in 2009 going into this market, and it was a very niche market, and you know, today it's a huge market for us. So going in, making great products that fits the consumer in niches where there's no product from before is what we're really passionate about. And in general, also making great products so people can stay out in nature no matter what kind of weather condition and enjoy their activities.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Isn't it difficult to aim at many markets at the same time because you're aiming at the US, you're aiming at Scandinavia, Nordics, European, Europe and Asia as well? Isn't it difficult to...
Our take on this is, first of all, we say no to most countries. So we are 15 markets that we really focus on. And and our take on this is still, in general, we make as few products as possible. And we use as long time as possible on each product. So we've been very focused on controlling the number of styles. And we also say, you know, the Norrøna way of doing it is getting inputs from the different market and making one product that fits them. And I think we have been successful with that because I talked to one of the retailers in Central Europe once and had a discussion about this one with him. And he said, you know, Jürgen, if I want German-made products, I go buy it from Germany. So it's really important that you stay core to what you are doing and doing it your way, because that's why we traveled to Norway to buy it from you guys. And I think we see that both in Japan and in the US, why they actually go that far to buy Norrøna is because we do it our way, which is different from the others. So we shouldn't adopt that to each market, because then you lose that point of differentiation.
What are your weaknesses as a company?
It's hard to say. I'm so much gladder in focusing on the strong side, but of course we are a small company, and that could be that's difficult in a world where still focusing on 50 markets, and you know, our brand awareness is probably outside Norway is probably our biggest weakness, because there is a lot of consumers out there that would have chosen Norrøna if they knew about Norrøna the right way, because a lot of consumers are looking for the highest quality, function and design. But if they don't know that we exist, it's hard to choose us. So I think seen from the brand side, being a small company and trying to reach out to all consumers in our focus markets that would be our perfect customers, that's a big challenge.
You've already been talking about the expeditions in the 70s and 80s, but what are the roles of all the expeditions, and do you still work with expeditions and not only brand ambassadors?
We do both, and I mean, during the 70s and 80s and 90s, we were part of so many great expeditions. I think the first ascent of the Triangle Tower being probably one of the most extreme ones and most recognized ones. What was great about these expeditions is that we didn't buy in to be part of it. These were our friends that we worked with. And therefore, they, of course, used our clothing, and we worked together to make the best possible clothing. So it was a win-win situation, and we were the natural choice. And we have been first on so many peaks, the North Pole, South Pole, and so on. So, and this was not a strategic plan. It kind of was just a natural way of doing it. So, I mean, in the end of the 90s, the expedition market really changed because a lot of money came into it. And we saw that we were part of some expeditions. They were choosing this brand one week, next brand the next week. And we thought, you know, what's the credibility of buying this? You know, we had all the credibility because we had been doing it for many years without buying it. So we eventually changed to working with ambassadors, and ambassadors that choose us because they're in it with the heart. But when these ambassadors then go on expeditions, we are, of course, part of this and supporting them. So we've done a lot of cool expeditions also after year 2000, but then it's with our ambassadors when they go on it. And I think we changed working with the ambassadors now, so now we're more organized. How do we develop a product? We get them into it, we get them into the process, and we have a continuously feedback process on when we test out new stuff. So the ambassadors is very important to us, but I think because the world has changed, the way we work with the ambassadors has also changed to fit the way we work. And you know, a lot of our employees are also very passionate about outdoor, and they're also an important part of testing our products.
How do you go about like indulging and encouraging employees and people to go out? Do you hand out extra vacation if they have a cool expedition plan or a ski plan?
And the one that has applied has gotten the time off at least. So, but that happens sometimes. But of course, we have like a company trip every year where we bring the whole company and we try to do different activities, meeting our activities. This fall we went up to Hemsedal and we were camping outside and doing hikes and mountain biking and fishing and a lot of different activities, but sleeping outside and making everyone kind of feel what that is like. It was pretty cold, and you know, it's important that we understand how the products work. But every year we go a different place, and that's a way to get people into the activities. We also have a couple of company cabins where people can go up in the mountains and enjoy, and of course they get a very good pricing at Norrønagir. But I, one of my former employees, he said when he was quitting, he said, "I came into Norröna as a road biker and alpine slope skier. I went out as a mountain biker and a free rider." So, you know,
that's the best kind of.
So, I mean, this is so we influence a lot, and the people working in my company, they like to hang out with each other. So they do a lot of private trips also, which is really great, you know. So they hang a lot together and do different kind of things. So I think 2 weeks ago, they were going to start on yoga and surfing. So this stuff also happens by putting a lot of passionate people together.
What kind of people work at Norröna?
I think most of the people working here, they are really, really passionate. You know, passion is one of our four cultural values. And what we see when we do, we have like a service. We score really hard, high on this is more than a job to me. And I'm super proud of the people working there because, you know, they do a great job, and they're such a big part of the success that we have today. Usually, you know, I'm the one that gets all the credit, but there is a lot of great people there, super passionate about both their job and also about the outdoor activities. And I think this passion also make them enjoy each other company a lot. And, you know, last week we had a Christmas party on Halloween, and it was arranged by some part in the company, you know. That's usually how we do it. And to this party, you know, they also made the band. So now we have a Norröna house band. It was really, really cool, and it just shows the passion and enthusiasm of the people working here. And the other thing is that, you know, we are 16 different nationalities. We're 70 people, but there is a lot of different nationalities, and that's somehow demanding to lead, but it's really cool to see it's working together, and it makes us, you know, being able to take the best out of a lot of different cultures.
Mm-hmm. Are you expanding? Are you looking for new talents?
We are, and I mean, we are growing as a company. We're not adding up a lot of new jobs every year, but of course, it's so important for us to get great people into the company, because that's the only way that we will reach our long-term goals, and that we are able to lead them in the best possible way. And I mean, this is one of, I think, one of the hardest thing for me. You know, how do you become a great leader? How do you make, how do you see all the people every day, and how are you able to include them in the journey that we are going on? So it's not only a decision taken at the top that drives us in the right direction, but it's all the good suggestions coming from the people working here that takes us to our long-term goals.
What makes you a good CEO?
I think somebody else has to judge that, but I hear is my strong sides and is probably the vision and the enthusiasm, that I'm pretty good at seeing long directions that fit the company. And I think I still have a lot of potential in being a better leader. And that's a development that needs it. But the vision is probably my strongest side.
How would you describe the outdoor scene and the outdoor industry of today, like global as a phenomenon?
You know, the thing I like most about it is when companies come and innovate and change the direction of it. And I mean, it's not too much of all that today, but the ones doing it, they deserve a lot of respect, because it's so important that the outdoor scene gets dynamic. And I mean, there's a lot of price focus these days, and everyone wants to grow, also Norrøna, and that sort of pulls down the high end and the niche market. So, you know, there is room for more high-end niche in the outdoor segment, and that's so important for the development going forward. I also think there's a lot of great innovation in the outdoor scene, but in general we have a challenge to make the consumer understand, because it's so technical and it's not communicated to the consumer so they understand. So I think this is a challenge for the outdoor, but there, on the other side, it's also a great industry with a lot of passion. I think a lot of the competitors has a pretty good relation to each other, you know, and that's a really cool, you know, that's a cool industry to be in. You know, it's not about talking shit about each other, but it's respecting each other and being able to compete really hard and then still hanging out together.
And when it comes to the trends, how has the trends been changing? I mean, during your active years, and what is and or who is leading the trends, setting the new standards?
I mean, the hard gear is often what defines the trends, and I think they are not really just popping up, but so you can see them coming. But I mean, like freeride skiing, you know. That did so much to how you can play the mountain during winter time, and you have the randonnée trend now, which, you know, the hard gear is really what kind of drives it, and we can jump in there and make really good products on top. But it really, I really like the randonnée trend, you know, kind of walking around the mountain in a different way and then having fun on going down. You see the single track and full suspension biking, you know, the film The Ridge shows that you can actually bike almost anything with the hard gear of today. So the cool thing is that the hard gear, which creates the trend, gives so many opportunities to play the mountain. So there is really, I mean, if you go back 20 years, there is so much stuff you couldn't do then, which you can do now, and I think this will catch up with a bigger part of the population. And I mean, I believe, for example, single track mountain biking in Norway and Sweden in 10 years, it will be a big tourism thing. There's so many cool opportunities with the gear that's out there and with the landscape we have. I really like the direction we're going in, but it's defined by the hardware.
Are you trend sensitive? Are you interested in trends within society?
I'm not an expert on trends. The way we work is that we develop products in the niche of what we're deeply passionate about, what we think we can be the best in the world at, and it has also to be profitable for us. In that sweet spot, we make a great products. So we find an activity we like, and it doesn't need to be any trend, but if we like it, we go in there and make products for it. And we don't use a lot of time to looking at kind of big trend charts and so on, but we're more into the craftsmanship. And we believe if we put enough time into each product, they will be liked by the consumer. And sometimes that becomes a trend, and that's okay. But we don't really, we're not very trend conscious, but it's important to just notice what's happening out there. And I mean, like the Randonet thing now, is you see that, yes, it's going from nothing and it's exploding. And we see that's happening. And but we were starting Randonet clothing when it was that big. So it's because we enjoy the activity, and I think our ambassador is starting to use the mountain in a different way. They said, we need some products there. Yes, let's make products for you guys. Okay, it's really nice that it becomes a big market and we can sell more products, but that's not necessarily the reason to go in there. I mean, single track mountain biking, it was very small when we went in there, but we thought, here we can make some cool products. And that's kind of the consumer, and the consumers that buy it, they thought it also was cool. That was the motivation.
If you think it will be fun on your next company trip, you will start making products for it.
Yeah.
What other brands inspire you?
I like to look at brands outside the industry a lot. I think my biggest inspiration was Steve Jobs when he came back to Apple and took over, because he did so many brave things, and he's such a visionary. So that inspired me a lot during year 2000 and so on. But I think if you look at the outdoor scene, you know, the brands that has their own identity is what I really respect. You know, Fjällräven, that's they have always had their own identity, and is, you know, that I respect a lot. You know, my father and Åke Nordin was very good friends. I mean, I really respect Arc'teryx, especially for what they did when they came into the clothing market, and you know, Patagonia for their environmental focus and how they have built a sort of a cult brand. And there's a lot of other great brands out there also, and you know, I really like the one that have their own identity and really work hard to develop that further on.
Do you identify a lot with other, I know there's a, like a Nordic or like a Scandinavian like kind of a cluster when it comes to outdoor brands. Do you identify a lot with other Scandinavian brands?
To be honest, you know, we don't really look so much outside, because it's outside our influence. So when we work on ourselves, we kind of get a little introvert and said, okay, what can we do to do the best possible way? And by not looking so much at the others, we can be more differentiated, because we like to try out new stuff and be different from the others. And therefore we have to look for inspiration other places. So when we look for new inspiration, it's not at ISPO, you know, because everyone else is doing that. So how do we break the pattern? That's the focus for us. We know that it's very good for us and all the other Scandinavian brands that we are successful together, but we still try to differentiate ourselves and do it our way. I mean, also by 90% of our products are made at our head office. You know, we do the full process there. It's a competitive advantage that we have. I think very few companies in the world do it that way. So we look for ways to stand out from the crowd. That's an important thing for us.
If you would look at Norrøna's history, mm-hmm. And your legacy, what makes you what are you most proud of?
it's a lot of things. I mean, it could be being able to kind of thinking from my side or from the whole history.
Well, from your side to make it a bit easier, maybe.
What I'm proud of is that I've been able to take it over and lift it to the next level. Of course, I'm very proud of that. But there's still a lot of ways I see I have to improve, and there's a lot of opportunities which is still out there. And I mean, I'm pretty good at looking forward, so I don't sit down and think so much about that. I like to look more future, but of course, it's I'm proud of being able to turn it around and kind of lift it to the next level. And
What's your take on sustainability and thoughts about sustainability?
I mean, sustainability has always been in kind of the foundation of Norröna, long before it was a hype in the industry. So, I mean, an important part for us has been the repairs since we started. Another important part for us has been the best quality, you know, that the products has a long lifetime. But in the latest years, we have worked hard to improve our carbon footprint. We haven't said so much about it, but we have worked really hard to improve this way. What we have seen now is that we also need to tell the consumers what we're doing, not bragging, but just being transparent about it. So in our latest strategy that goes to 2020, we would like to change a bit and really show what we plan to do and evaluate ourselves if we're able to do it, and do it in a transparent way. So if the whole value chain of Norröna was transparent to the consumer, I think it would be much easier for them to judge us if we're doing the right thing. But sustainability is in the foundation of everything we do. And of course, the changes in the climate today might destroy our market and the nature that we really are passionate about. So it is important for us to be a part of somebody pushing in the right way for making it a lot better than making, you know, that's important for us. And we will put a lot more resources into this going forward also.
So finally, what's the next step for you? What lies ahead?
We just kicked off our 2020 strategy. And you know, if you look at my time in the company, it could be defined as from 2005 to 2010. It was sort of a turnaround phase. We had to get the foundation working, and that was a lot of work to get there. And the phase from 2011 to 2014 was mainly making sure that what we started, that started work good in 2010, was built to something really good. And now we're talking about lifting Norröna to the next level. So that goes on the fundamental kind of how do we take care of our consumers the best possible way through making cool and happy products. And we are really conscious about our distribution, but also the way we work and the people working in the company. And by focusing on these five areas and the sustainability, we think that we will deliver a lot of cool innovations, not only on the product side, but in all these areas in the years to come. So we have a lot of cool ambitions, and we really want to be in the forefront on who's driving the outdoor market. Sustainability, communication, products, how we treat our consumers, and also how we run the whole company.
And last but not least, it's November and it's soon winter finally. What's the, if you have to choose one place, that the best place for skiing, your best tip for this winter?
This winter, I will go to British Columbia on the border to Alaska. And hopefully it's very, very deep powder.
I'm sure it will be. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.